Zechariah chapter 8. So glad God's word is still relevant today. I'm so glad that it is still true. It doesn't matter how many years pass. And really, one of the things you see tonight, it doesn't matter how many years in the future. When God talks about a future promise, it doesn't matter if it's tomorrow or thousands of years. God fully intends to keep every one of his promises, and I'm thankful for that. He's a good God. I don't know about you, but one thing you can tell about God is he is faithful. You know, where we have not been faithful, I'm glad God has always been faithful and always will be. But Zechariah 8, we want to look at the first 8 verses of the chapter. It says this: "Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word tonight. Lord, I'm glad that you have preserved it for us. Lord, I'm thankful for the truth that's in its pages. Lord, we ask that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, help me to preach. Lord, help us to listen to what you have for us tonight. Lord, open up our hearts and our ears to what you have in your scripture, Lord, this truth. And Lord, I pray that we can apply it to our lives and find encouragement and help in this time. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So we dealt with chapter 7 this morning. Remember, it was talking about fasting and mourning over their captivity when God was trying to show them that the only reason they were in captivity was because of their disobedience. And now he is saying this. He's telling them back in 7 that the rituals aren't what means more to me. That's what God is saying. It's not how you do it or what you do it. He's saying, I want your heart to be right with me. That was the key, you know, not do we fast at this time and do we do this at that time. He said, I want your heart right and a relationship. And that's still true today. And I'm glad that not only did God send that message of truth and had a little bit of rebuke in there, but also every time that God sends chastisement, every time God sends a message that's hard for us to hear, I'm glad that he also follows it up with encouragement. And that's what chapter 8 is. He's told him, you know, this is, I know the time is difficult. And remember, we also said the setting of this chapter is they had spent years rebuilding the temple, and they had 2 more years, give or take, of work left before it was finished. And that work was hard. It was hard work because Jerusalem had been in ruins. So they're working in a city of ruin to try to build something. But I'm glad that God still has a future and future promises for Jerusalem. And that's really the big part of what you see, Jerusalem's future. But he starts off in verse 2. He says this: "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was zealous for Zion with great jealousy." I'm sorry, "I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury." And you think of that word jealousy, it's negative. And our verbiage today, our language today, that's a negative word. They think about when someone in a relationship is jealous of the other person, where really what they're saying is they're suspicious and fearful and things like that. Fearful of them leaving and loving somebody else, you know, where they want to check the phones and everything like that. But that's not the type of jealousy that God is talking about. That's not the negative jealousy that God is mentioning here. He is saying that I don't want to share you with any other god. And he's saying also, it kind of slipped out of my mouth, but he's saying also, I'm zealous for you. He's not just do I not want to share you with anyone else. I'm zealous for you. God's saying, I'm all in for you. Does that make sense? I'm all in. You know, I'm into this relationship. I don't want to share you, but you know what? I want you to serve me and be completely a complete relationship between God and his people. He doesn't want just partial relationship. He doesn't want just weekend visits. He wants all of us all the time. And it was the same thing for the Jews as it is for us today. He wants our whole heart. He wants our whole life, our whole desires, every part of our life. That's what he's trying to tell him. He's saying, I'm jealous for you. I'm zealous for you. I want you. And that same thing is true for today. And I say, praise God for that. I'm glad I've got a God that's all in. Because there have been times, many times, where I have not been all in. You know, the Jews back looking in their history, there were times where they were flirting with other nations and the gods of other nations. But I'm glad that one of the first things that he reminds them is, I'm all in for you. I love you. I desire you. I have promises for you, and I'm not done with you. Do you realize the same promises he has, he's got that for the church, I believe, as well, for the Christian people. He's not done with us. Even when we look out here and say, my goodness, there's so much more work to be done. Just like in those days, there was so much more work to be left in the temple, and then rebuilding the walls and rebuilding the cities and everything else that they had to do. There was a lot of work left to do. It was hard work, just like the spiritual labor that we have here today in this world. It is hard work. There's a lot of opposition, but I'm glad God said, I'm all in. I'm glad he wasn't just all in when he went to the cross, but he continues to be all in today. And I say, praise God for that. Praise the Lord. He wants a complete relationship. You know, Jesus gave us everything he had.
That's right. He sure did.
And I love that verse in Romans 8. I can't remember it, but basically he's saying, if I did all of that, what else would I not give you? What else would I not freely give you? Whatever you need. I'm glad for that. But not only this, look what he says in verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion. See, I read that fast the first time, and I thought he said, I have returned unto Zion. But he's saying, I am returned unto Zion. Basically, again, he's saying, I have not abandoned you, right? I have restored you from the captivity back to Zion, back to the land that I promised Abraham's seed forever. And as you're working, as you're facing opposition, remember I said every time the work started up again, the opposition started up again, amen. Amen. Isn't that true? Whenever we step out in faith, there's the opposition that comes to try to get us to stop or to quit or to slow down or to take up our time or whatever. But as all of these things were going on, it was a hard life. That's why so few had left the comforts of Babylon to come back. But you know what? I'm glad that God sees our work. God sees our labors. That's what he told the churches in Revelation. That's what he's telling them, and he knows how to encourage his people. He says, I'm back. You know, there was a time where God had left, and God said, I'm not in this anymore. But he said, I am returned unto Zion.
Yeah.
Then he says this. This blessed my heart. The Lord says, I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. You know what this is? This is another reminder that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. Praise God. It is all through the Bible, but I'm glad he is coming back. It won't be like the first time he came. He's not coming back as a baby again, but I'm glad he's coming again. Here's some of the passages that talk about it. Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Then Revelation 19, we've talked about it many times, talks about Jesus coming on a white horse to judge and to make war and to defeat all the armies of the world that come against him. I like Jude verses 14 and 15, Enoch's prophecy, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all. And then finally, Zechariah 14 will tell us this in verse 4, on the day of the Lord when he returns, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem. Praise God. The same spot his feet were on the Mount of Olives when he went up back up into heaven, that same Jesus is coming right back to the same spot, and it's going to be entirely different this time. And aren't you glad he's going to sit down at the throne of David and he's going to rule and reign? Praise God. Praise the Lord. He is coming back to this world, and this world will never be the same. You realize the world was never the same after Jesus came the first time. He's definitely not going to be the same after he comes the second time. But you know what else I like? Jerusalem, the city, had been called a harlot in different places of the Bible. But now look what he says. It shall be called a city of truth. It went from being a harlot and a rebel to the city of truth. Yeah. And the mountain of the Lord of hosts is the holy mountain. When the God of truth and when a God of holiness and righteousness, when he comes on the scene, when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, you realize what he's going to do? He's going to get rid of every lie, every bit of deception, every bit of evil and unrighteousness. All the sin will be gone. And once you get rid of all of that, the only thing that is left is truth and righteousness. Praise God. And he said, that's what the city's going to be. That sounds like a blessing to me. I don't know about you. Verse 4, let's keep going. It's getting better. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with a staff in his hand for very age. You realize at this time, pretty much the only ones that had returned from captivity to rebuild were those that were physically able to make the journey and physically able to do the work that would have been demanding and very physical labor. And that would have prevented a lot of the older people from coming, I believe. They would have had to stay there in Babylon. But the Lord's reminding them soon, there's going to be old men and old women in the city again. They're going to be alive again. And then he talks about boys and girls playing in the streets in verse 5. You know, I look at these passages and it's hard to tell if in part of it he's talking about the near future, or if he's talking about a time far away. It's hard to tell what he's talking about. But I'll tell you what. In those days, the streets of Jerusalem, they didn't have any walls. And in those days, it would have been unsafe. There would have been a constant threat of violence. And you think about Jerusalem today, over there in the Middle East, surrounded by its enemies, where they talk about rockets being shot into the city all the time. And you think about all the threats of the countries that are around them. Over and over again, they say they want to completely destroy Israel and get rid of them, but I'll tell you what, there is coming a day when Jesus sits on the throne of David, where that city will not have another threat, because Jesus will have gotten rid of every enemy. They will all be gone. They will be able to, anyone in the city will be able to enjoy it without any fear, without wondering if they're going to hear another air raid siren and they have to run to safety, not wondering if today's the day the armies will amount and try to take it out. There'd be no fear whatever. I'll tell you what, even if you think about Jerusalem, and today it's hard to imagine all the threats that are going on, but why don't you look at one of our big cities? Imagine no fear in Chicago, right? Imagine no fear in New York City. You can't even imagine it, can you? It's impossible. But he said, I can turn a city into one with no crime when I come, right? I can take away all fear and all threats when I come. Look what happens in verse 6. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of the people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what he's telling him? God is sending this message through Zechariah the prophet, and he's talking about the future of Jerusalem. And God sends with the prophecy, he knows the objection is coming, doesn't he? He knows the doubt is coming. Right? Just like we just shared tonight. Imagine the Lord saying that Chicago would be totally peaceful without any crime or any death. We'd say, oh, I don't know if I believe that. Right? Even Columbus. I don't know if I believe that. They've already had homicides already this year in Columbus. So God said in verse 6, with that prophecy, why don't you tell them this? Ask them this question. When you hear the words of the prophecy, when you hear it, wouldn't it be marvelous, which we would say probably impossible, if it be impossible in the eyes of the remnant of the people in these days? You know what he's saying? If you are hearing this and you're looking around at the city and seeing the threats and seeing the lack of children playing and the lack of old people and the lack of a future because everything's in disarray and you're trying to rebuild, if it seems impossible to you in your eyes, should it also be impossible in mine eyes? That's what the Lord's saying. It may seem like it's impossible when you look at the present condition. You know what Jesus said in Luke 18:27? The things which are impossible with men are possible with God, right? You know what he's saying? Another way of saying, even though it seems like there's no way this could happen to you, even though you're looking at your surroundings and your situation and saying that there's no way it could happen, it seems like a fairy tale. God said, should it also be marvelous in my eyes? When I look at it, I'm not looking through your eyes. That's what God's saying. It's not impossible to me. You know why? Because God is able to look into the future and he can see it happen. That's the God we serve. He can see it already done. So I tell you what, no matter what type of situation or problem you and I have, we could ask we could use the same verse and put it and say this. If it looks impossible to you in your day and in your situation and in your problem, does it look the same way to the Lord? No. Because he can take care of it. He can get rid of the enemy. He can get rid of sin. He can bring peace. He can change situations. He can bring miracles. He can do whatever he wants, and he will. You want to know what the Lord sees? You want to know what the Lord's eyes see in Jerusalem? Verses 3, 4, and 5. He said, I'll dwell, right? The old men and the old women, they'll be back. The children will be playing in the streets. He's saying, that's what I see. You know what? I believe you and I will one day see the same thing. It's going to take a while. It's going to be a couple years. But we'll see it too. Look what he says in verse 7 and 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. See, in that day, just a small remnant, just a small group of not quite 50,000 decided to leave the captivity and come back and rebuild. But there is coming a day when all of God's chosen people, all of the Jews, will be reunited and they'll be returned to the promised land. And I believe he's not just talking about physically bringing them all back into the land. I believe spiritually, because he talks about saving them. And he talks about forgiving them and them being his people in truth and in righteousness. And look at this. Romans 11:25 says this. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that the blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. Do you hear that? All Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Do you see that?
Yeah.
I don't understand the specifics. I don't understand all the details. I can't tell you exactly how God's going to do it or how it's going to happen. But he said, once the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. You know what that tells me? Once we're out of the way, where are we at? Once we're out of here and we're up there. He said, I've got a plan for the Jews that are still here. Praise God. I'm glad for that, because I don't know about you. He made promises to the Jews. And he said that there would be, their eyes are blinded right now spiritually. But he said one day that blindness is going to be lifted. They're going to be able to see that promised Messiah that they've been looking for, he's already came, and that's Jesus Christ. They're going to see him for who he is. He will forgive them of their sins. What a wonderful day to think about it. What a blessing. What a God. All of these things. Every time I think about it, it amazes me. Jesus, me, that God would choose that nation, that group of people, even though they would fail him and do all these things. But God wants to make it clear and crystal clear through his word that I made promises to them that I intend to keep. And I tell you what, you and I could look around, and we could look at Jerusalem, and we could look at the Jews, and we could look at Israel and the hardness of their heart and everything else, and we could say, I don't think it'll ever happen. It doesn't make sense to me. In fact, I've had Christian people say, look at the nation over there. There's no way that God is blessing them in the state they're in. You know what God would say? I tell you what, if it be marvelous in your eyes right now that I would do something like that with that little nation of Israel, should it be marvelous in my eyes? God's saying, just because it looks bad in the Middle East doesn't change a thing.
That's right. Amen.
You know what that tells me? Just because it looks bad in our lives, just because this world looks like it's out of control, doesn't change a thing with God. He's saying, listen, you can take any promise in this book, anything, and you can just take one sentence out of it, one phrase out of it, one word out of it, and realize there is nothing that this world or the devil or rulers or laws or anything else can stop a single sentence from happening in this book. It never has, and it never will. God's saying, you're focusing on this stuff. He said, but I don't need any of this. I can change it all just like that. I believe he will. I believe he will. Just like that, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the fullness of the Gentiles were out of the way. And God says, I've got a whole lot more planned. That's not it. I heard somebody say that the church age that we're in is just like a parenthesis in the Bible. You've got God dealing, well, I'll do it this way. God dealing with Israel and Abraham and calling them out and doing all those things. And then finally, Jesus comes and he dies. And in Acts, the church starts. And the Jews are kind of put on pause for a little bit, a parenthesis. And then the church age. And then one time he calls the church out. I don't know when, but it'll be quick. And then unpause, right back to what he was doing. We haven't replaced them, and we never will. But I'm glad he still has promises yet. And he intends to keep them. Whether it's to a nation or whether he's made a promise to you, he will keep it. He will keep it.
Amen.
You know what the future for Jerusalem is? It's hard to even imagine when you read some of this. But Jerusalem's got to be better. There's a brighter future. The promises seem impossible. But you know what God was showing them? Remember the context of all this. He's saying, listen,
I know you've chosen to step out in faith. You left the comforts of Babylon, right? Remember, I told Cyrus, I challenged anyone who would go back and rebuild to go do it. And only 50,000 of you decided to do it. You worked hard. And then remember, for 7 years you had to stop. But then you started back up again. And that was about two years before this passage. So they're in the middle of another stretch of hard work. And God says, I want to give you a little something to encourage you and to keep you going. I tell you what, we got a lot of work to do, church. But we got a God that still loves us. We've got a job that seems impossible. But God says, don't focus on your eyes. Don't focus and lean on your logic and your own understanding. Leave it up to me. He says, just trust me. And then aren't you glad in the middle of all the work, God says every once in a while, he'll say, let me let you in on a little secret.
Yeah.
There's more coming. There's a better day. I've got more plans for you. I know the work's hard now, but wait till you see this city down the road. My goodness, what a God. There's going to be a day when Jerusalem's never the same again. When Jesus steps foot back into it and he dwells with his people. And you can keep on reading in this chapter and it'll continue to bless you. There'll be people that get excited about traveling to Jerusalem just to go see what's going on and to visit. What a blessing. I'm going to ask everyone to stand tonight.